And we are back on the third and final segment here this Saturday morning. Investor IQ, my name is Glenn Wessel. I've been speaking with Paul Quick, who's basically the owner of Asheville Business Consultants, I believe. Paul's number is 254-3598. He can help you arrange a transaction to, you know, sell your business or possibly buy a business if you're interested in that side of it as well. And Mike Sawinski, who's a CPA, and the name of your firm is CFO Consultants. You can call Mike at 712-2913. Had a few more questions before we wrap things up here today. When someone is deciding to sell the business, there are going to be a number of different advisors who would be involved with that process, I would think. In what order would someone call an advisor? Do you start with your CPA? Do you start with you, Paul? Do you call the business broker first?
Well, I think a business broker might be the person you would call first. There will be the business broker would be one person to be involved. Then you've got the CPA is going to be involved. You may need a financial planner like yourself. And also, of course, an attorney is going to be a vital part of the process.
The attorney obviously drafts the documents that are going
to
be.
The attorney will prepare the documents to conclude the transaction.
Right. Yeah, I think it's important to point out that the attorney should have experience with business transactions.
Absolutely.
It's a very, very different thing closing a real estate transaction.
Right. That's right. Anytime we make a referral to an attorney, we always try to refer to a specialist in that area. So
exactly. That
seems like good advice. Mike, when it comes to purchasing a business, I know that there are a couple of ways you can do it, one of which would be to purchase the stock of the business. And another way would be to identify the assets and the liabilities and purchase them, maybe value each one of them separately and come up with a combined sum of what it's worth. How is it typically done, and why would one be better than another?
Well, it definitely depends on your tax situation and how the deal is structured. But the seller is always going to want to sell stock. They're going to want to sell the stock. And the reason is that, one, from a tax perspective, that's advantageous to the seller. But also he gets rid of all the liabilities potentially for the company. So if he's able to sell the stock, the buyer takes on all of the liabilities of the company, both that exist and might exist in the future.
Oh, whereas if he just sold the assets, he may retain the liabilities?
That's right.
So if the business owner sells the stock, but the business owner has probably also signed personally for loans that the company has, how does that actually absolve the owner of the loans, because he's signed it, right? He signed the loan. Does it work that way?
No, in part of the purchase agreement, they're going to have to start to change over all of those assets or those loan documents into the new.
So then the new buyer would have to be put in place of the previous buyer and the owner, who would then be released, I guess, right?
Exactly.
So then I guess the transaction is in some way contingent upon outside lenders blessing it, right?
Well, and that's a big part of due diligence in all of this, is that all the agreements have to be looked at, both especially leases and loan covenants, because if, for example, landlord doesn't allow the assignment to the new buyer, that could be a real problem in the transaction.
Right.
Absolutely.
So then you'd have to structure the transaction to maybe happen when the lease expires, right?
Exactly, so yeah.
That could be a big deal, especially if it's like a 30-year lease or so.
And a lot of the loan covenants won't allow any kind of selling of the business in certain circumstances. And so all those documents, that's why the attorneys have to be involved, to make sure that the transaction can actually take place that they'd like to have.
Okay. So let me ask another question. If you base the sale price of a business on mostly the assets, because it's an asset-rich type of enterprise, you know, like a manufacturing entity. If you look at the fair value of all those assets and you end up paying more than what those assets are worth, there's something in the accounting world called goodwill. If either one of you, whoever wants to jump in, just explain what the notion of goodwill is and why it seems like buyers typically pay more than what the value of a business would otherwise be.
It depends on the cash flow, again, because that's another huge component of this. And usually goodwill is generated from the cash flow of the business. And the notion is that you have this value of, you know, if it's a medical firm, for example, there's a value to those clients, there's a value to those patients. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you're trying to assess. That's in above the assets themselves.
So if a firm has especially good pricing power or secret formulas or processes that are better than the guy down the street, that would all, I guess, translate into a premium price, right?
And that's another good point, too, is that if you have a patent or something along those lines, those also have to, first of all, the seller should actually own the patent. There are times when I've heard stories about that one.
Yeah, it's kind of like someone buying a house from not the seller.
Exactly.
Oh, they own, yeah.
Well, and there's some stories of people having buildings that they say they own, but they actually just rented for the day to walk the seller through. So
that's right.
These things happen.
I've heard stories like that.
There's all kinds of horror stories, yes.
Right. But that's all part of the due diligence process that you take care of to make sure that all these things are real.
So they could hire you as a due diligence guy, yeah. and you'd go through and look at the leases and the insurance contracts and debt covenant arrangements, yeah. and so on.
And anything, though, that, you know, once it gets into attorney world, there's definitely room for an attorney here, particularly writing the documents, the selling and buying documents.
Correct.
Once again, I've been talking with Mike Sawinski and Paul Quick. If you have any questions for them, I encourage you to give them a call. Mike's number is 712-2913, and Paul's number is 254-3598. Paul, you're right downtown in Asheville on Merriman Avenue, aren't you?
That's the mailing address. I actually work out of my home.
Oh, okay. And Mike, I think you're in Candler still, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So any words of wisdom for people dealing with taxes? I know that there's a lot of thought. We only have about 30 seconds here, but there's a thought that taxes ought to increase due to the deficits that we've been running. Touch on it real fast.
Yeah, and in this transaction, there's generally a large capital gain that has to be dealt with, and it's most experts' opinion that the capital gains tax is going to go up in the future, like most tax rates, and so we encourage you to get these things done quickly.
The current 15% rate ends at the end of this year, and it's liable to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so the structure of these deals is important, too. You can do installment deals and all these kinds of things to lessen the tax burden, and those are all things to
talk
about.
So quickly, just 10 seconds, an installment deal, installment sale, what is it?
Installment sale, where you don't buy the entire business all at once. Instead, it's kind of a rent-to-own, buy-to-own
right.
kind of arrangement where...
And real quickly, who offers the financing? Is it the seller that offers the financing typically, or is it an outside entity?
Very often.
Okay, the seller?
Yes.
The seller.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. I'm Glenn Wessel. Hope you had a good time listening. Tune in next week. We'll be back at that time. Thanks very much.